Today on Straight Talk Africa, the 2018 FIFA World Cup is over and France is the new World Cup champions. The five African teams that participated in Russia, Nigeria, Egypt, Senegal, Morocco and Tunisia were knocked out in the preliminary rounds of the highly competitive soccer fiesta. We'll discuss the World Cup finale and have an in-depth look at the Confederation of African Football or CAF nations that competed in the global extravaganza. That's coming up next, right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America headquarters in Washington. I'm Peter Clotty. Shaka Sali is on assignment.
And hello to all of our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Heidi Adams-Fitzpatrick, and I will be your social media reporter.
Today we'll discuss the World Cup finale and have an in-depth look at the Confederation of African Football Nations that competed in the global extravaganza.
And coming up later, our audience has weighed in on our topic through emails, Facebook and Twitter comments. We'll reveal some of them ahead here on Straight Talk Africa.
The 2018 FIFA World Cup wrapped up on Sunday with France winning the coveted cup. Hope for five African teams were dashed during the preliminary rounds in what viewers around the world agree was a highly competitive tournament. VOA's Esther Githui-Ewart has more.
The 22nd FIFA World Cup is now history, and France is holding its head high as the clear winner, defeating Croatia with 4-2. Daniel Brown, a multimedia production specialist with VOA, reflects on the French win.
They did an outstanding job. They played to their performance. They played to the form that they're in right now. They played at an extremely high level. When you're watching them play, they're playing in a fancy kind of mindset. They had these crazy passes. They actually had a lot of crazy good goals.
No question, Russia was a great host for the Cup, with a total of 64 matches played in 11 cities and 12 venues that also included five African nations, Nigeria, Senegal, Egypt, Tunisia, and Morocco. Unfortunately, they were all eliminated early on. So what went amiss? Baba Makeri is an international broadcaster with VOA's Hausa service.
We always lack the teamwork. To play as a team in Africa sometimes is a little bit problem because most of our players, they play with the, together with the Europeans and then the Asians and then the South Americans. But unfortunately, when they come home, that is where the problem is. We can't play as a team.
Yakuba Wedraogo, a sports reporter with VOA's French to Africa service.
When you get team and you got high level, the players of high level in the same team and we are of
lower,
it could be good because you can put them together and make a team. But most of African teams, when you look at them playing, you feel that they can begin an action. And at the end, maybe somebody miss his action and everything went down. So something missing.
I asked Daniel what he thought drives African soccer players to play for foreign countries.
A lot of players look at it as, where can I get playing time? So a lot of people from French or African descent, they can play for their home country. But the thing is, will they get noticed? Will they get playing time? Is there a chance for them to actually be successful?
At only 19 years of age, Kylian Mbappe has won the hearts of many. His mother is Algerian and his father Cameroonian.
I mean, watching him play and all the excitement, and especially from African fans who said this is one of our own.
Yep.
Where do you see him in the next couple of years?
I see him becoming the face of FIFA. Even though he plays for PSG, he has a lot to learn, a lot of skills to improve on. He can actually do a lot better with, you know, the team he has, the France team he has. He can be the captain of the team now after in the next 4 years. And in the next 8 years, I can see him winning another FIFA World Cup.
The U.S. is expected to co-host the 2026 World Cup alongside Canada and Mexico. During a joint press conference at the U.S.-Russia summit in Finland Monday, Russia's President Vladimir Putin handed a football to President Donald Trump telling him the ball is in his court.
We do host it, and we hope we do as good a job. That's very nice. That will go to my son, Baron. We have no question. In fact, Melania, here you go.
You know, for many of the African fans who really wanted to see an African team win the World Cup, perhaps we shouldn't be so disappointed, because out of the 23 players for France, 14 of them were of African descent. Esther Gidou-Yuart, VOA News, Washington.
Thanks, Esther. Joining us here in studio is my colleague Mohamed Al-Shenawi, a VOA international broadcaster who was in Russia at the 2018 World Cup. Welcome to you, Mohamed.
Thank you.
Later in the program, we will give our audience a chance to call in with your question or comment. The number to call is 202-619-3111, and the U.S. country code is 1. So, Mohamed, let me ask you, give us your impression regarding the 2018 World Cup. You were there in Russia. You felt the environment and the crowd cheering, the African team's performances there. Tell us about your experience.
Well, first of all, it was very organized. I mean, I went to Russia for the first time in my life. So, and I covered the World Cup for the Voice of America in Italy in 1990. And I can tell that the Russians were very impressive in the way they organized. They have ample security, but no intrusion. So it was safe, organized. And the big thing that was added to any previous ones is the Fan Fest. Fan Fest, Russia has a lot of squares and large places, so it would could accommodate up to 15,000 spectators from all the world watching on a big screen and getting to know each other. The crowds, because the tickets were issued following a certain team. I was following the Egyptian team because it was a private trip. So they would sit you with your own countrymen.
Right.
So while that happens, you can see the spirit of the competing teams, spectators, was very good, very clean. Actually, when Russia won the game against Egypt, a lot of spectators from the Russian crowd came hugging us, saying, "We are glad that you made it, and don't make that spoil your stay here." It was very nice. And the transportation. The Russians organized the public transportation to be free in the day of the game. So you just wear your fan ID and you're allowed to go to the stadium back and forth for free. So everything was organized. Even when I had a bad accident, when I lost my passport the first day, the police was very helpful. They found the passport in 2 days. They brought it from the airplane that went back to Moscow. So while the language was a barrier for most of the old generation, it was not for the young generation. They had teams of young boys and girls who can speak English fluently at the airport, at the stadiums, helping us. So altogether, it was very nice experience.
I see that you're wearing Mo Salah's shirt. Looking at the way the Egyptians performed at the World Cup, what were some of the feedback that you got from Egypt and in Russia as well?
Actually, in the stadium, the Egyptians were attending by numbers that never happened before. I was in Italy in 1990, and the Egyptian team was cheered by 1,000 people. In this tournament, it was 15 to 20,000 people came from Egypt, paid a lot of money. They were rocking the seats, cheering for Egypt, and they felt let down when their team never won a game. So I would say the performance of the crowd was much better than the performance of the team.
A lot of critics said the Egyptian team, the Pharaohs,
heavily depended on Mo Salah.
Yeah.
Because he was injured, the team seemed to fizzle out during the crucial parts of the tournament. And that prevented them from at least qualifying to the first knockout stage, the 116th stage. Do you share that assessment? And do you think the coach helped the cause of the Faroes in their determination to at least qualify to the next round?
To the latter part, yes. He did well preparing the team to qualify. However, I disagree with the assessment that Mohamed Salah was the key player. The problem was you cannot rely on one player to produce good results. The first game against Uruguay, Salah was not playing, and that was the best game the Egyptian team played because they didn't rely on a player. The two other games, they relied on him, and the real problem was the coach strategy was to be on the defense all the time. How would you produce a goal if you are in your third back of your field? The coach was a real problem, and the team didn't play well together while they have 8 international players that are playing in Europe. That doesn't make any sense.
Thanks, Mohamed Elshenawy, for sharing his World Cup experience with us. We'll be back after a short break.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Now in studio with me are Lami Ademu, a former Nigerian international and a member of the Super Falcons, the senior national women's team to the 2000 Olympic soccer tournament in Sydney, Australia, and Ni Akwete, an African policy analyst and activist. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
All right, so let me come to you, Lami. What were your impressions of the performance of the African teams at the just-ended World Cup in Russia?
Overall, it was they did their best. It was a good performance, but I thought we could do better. We could go beyond second-round quarterfinals, and the hope for all of us was to get to the finals, but we didn't. The performance was okay.
Just okay?
It was okay. They could do better.
Right, Neil, let me come to you. Your thoughts?
Yes, I am afraid I give the 5 African teams even less kudos than does Lamine. Now, of course, she played on the big stage, which I never came close to, and usually the bystanders are the harshest critics. So I'm keeping to that tradition. I think our 5 African teams really did very badly. This is the first time since 1982 that no African country made it into the round of 16. I think we are going backwards. It's a tragedy. So we actually need to look, both the football organizations in each African country, as well as continentally, even including the African Union. I think football is serious business. It's good for the countries because it's the people's game. So governments need to take it seriously, and the football associations need to take it seriously. And we need to do much better.
Lamine, the Nigerians call football the opium of the people. Looking at the Super Eagles at the World Cup, were you impressed with their performance?
Not totally. We have, Nigeria is a huge country, a country of over 160 million people. In my opinion, we could get better players and more experienced players. But the coach did his groundwork, and I believe and in his thought, he got the best players for the country that represented us in the World Cup. And he is in charge, and that's what he gave us, and they went and did their best.
Well, I remember Ron when he coached the Gabonese national team. When they organized the African Cup of Nations, I saw them in Libreville and how they played, well-organized and all that. Some thought that with the skill set that Nigerian players possessed, playing in the highest leagues around the world, they thought Nigeria could have done a little bit better. Critics in Nigeria were saying that he put players in strange positions that they did not get the full potential of them coming out, and that affected their performance. Do you share that assessment?
Yes, I do. Our first match, Musa didn't start, and he's one of the experienced players he have on the team. He had on the team. One of the things that really killed Nigeria in this World Cup, in my opinion, was the experience. Musa played the second goal. He played incredibly well, and he scored two goals. Young players are good, but experience is always better. Like the Roshan, they brought out their defender out of almost 10 years of retirement. They brought him back, not because he's the best player, but he had the experience. And he took their team to the round of 16. We can have a mixture of young players and experienced players, where the experienced players can lead the young players. They can motivate them. There's a different feel when you play with somebody that is experienced, that has that exposure. Not that they don't have, they all play international, so that they have some sort of exposure. Mikel's Obi's experience is different from some of the new guys. And the older guys, the experienced guys, they played really well. And they helped pull the team along, but wasn't good enough.
Let me come to you. Sure. Some saw mistakes and offenses committed by African players, despite the fact that they play in the most, whatever you call it, in Europe.
Yes.
It was like they were naive in there. People were very sharply critical of the Nigerian defender who basically was hugging a player for like 10 consecutive seconds. And it's a foul. He should know better. That is what critics told me. Your take?
I would agree with that, but I wouldn't blame the players. I blame the coaches because I think, you know, when you look at the game, it seems to me it's like a chess game. And the one moving the pieces are the coaches. So I actually think that one of the areas that African countries should look at is how to develop good coaches. Really, it comes from watching. I watched as many games as I could. Of course, I was cheering for every African country. And I thought one of the consistent weaknesses I saw. Yes, we have great players with great talent, and they play, as you implied, in the top leagues in the world, in Europe, the Premier League, La Liga, you name it. So it's not that they are not good players. They are very good, but they weren't coached well. We were out-coached. Africa was out-coached. We were also out-organized. The other thing I saw was each great player, when he gets the ball, it's like, okay, I'm going to do it alone. On the other hand, you watch the Croatians, you watch the French, you watch the Spanish, and they were like a team, okay? Every time you see the ball goes where it's supposed to go, somebody is there. It's not one person saying, I'm going to carry the team on my back. And therefore, I think our weakness was being out-coached. We had great players, but each one was doing their own thing. We were not well-organized, and we were out-coached. We need to look at our developing very good African coaches.
Bani, we had international coaches, except Senegal having a local coach.
Right.
But we'll come back and talk about that. Before pausing for a short break, we want to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now streaming live on Facebook. To watch our show, just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa and don't forget to share it with your friends. We're on Twitter and we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka, that's VOA Shaka, and join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA World Cup and we'll air some of your comments later in the show. We'll be right back.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Welcome back. Nee, before we went away, we were talking about the coaches.
Yes.
Four of the five coaches that coached the African teams at the World Cup were foreign coaches. They were not locally based coaches. You had Cissé from Senegal, who was a former player and coached the team.
Yes.
So what happened? They're supposed to be experienced. They're supposed to have the technical know-how. The boys were supposed to listen to them. And the FA, the federations of all the countries, repose such great confidence in them. What happened?
I think the first thing that happened was that they were foreign coaches. They were not African coaches. In fact, my point is that we should find people like Mr. Cissé from Senegal all over the continent. I mean, what we do is we find somebody who is a great player, and then we look at him and say, are you interested in coaching? And if they say yes, then we say, okay, you coach. I think that we should have a systematic program where we encourage and develop coaches from among people who are playing, because it takes a different set of skills. So the reason I think, yes, we had foreign coaches, but I'm saying that's exactly the problem. Because as you know, our FAs actually mistreat local coaches as opposed to foreign coaches. And these foreign coaches are retreads, okay? They are people over their prime. The Europeans don't give us their best coaches. They give us coaches who are over the hill and who get paid much more than they are paid, local coaches are paid. So I actually think we need to focus on coaching. We need to say we're going to find good indigenous African coaches. And most of all, we are going to train them. We just don't say because you were a good striker or a good defender or a good goalie, now you are the coach. It requires training. It requires thinking. It requires strategizing. It requires organizing the team.
Lamine, before I come to you, Nee, some of these African players have been encouraged over the years to go to Europe to get licenses at the top of wherever they are. Some were attached to Manchester United, Man City, and all the rest. So what happened to those? Don't they allow them to have access to the national teams to express themselves with what they have learned, to coach the young ones, and at least give them the opportunity to shine before giving them the ultimate prize of coaching the senior national teams?
I agree with you. I think many times from other aspects of our lives, you realize that we don't treat our own people well. So we may send them overseas. They come back, we show them less respect. Also, there's the big C word, okay, corruption. So who gets selected to play any role in organizing our teams, there is always the issue of corruption. I am sure that you saw, and I saw, and Lamine saw the story just before the World Cup in Ghana, where, you know, a referee and a member of the FA was caught by Aramayo. Are taking money and actually using the name of the president. So who gets selected either to be a coach or to be a player or to accompany the team is riddled with corruption. We have to solve the corruption, at least push it back, even if we can't uproot it. But yes, we have those people, even when they get their qualification and they come back, I agree with you, neither the FAs treat them well, and the governments don't treat them well. And behind the scenes, the governments are interfering. And FIFA says if we catch a government interfering with an FA, we will push that country out for a while. So those are some of the problems. Yes, we don't treat those we train well. We don't treat them well.
Let me come to you. The issue of foreign coaches vis-a-vis the African or local coaches. You have played the game to the highest level as a representative of Nigeria, representing the Super Falcons. What do players talk about regarding having a foreign coach coach them or a local coach?
Players will always play under any coach. You know, as an ex-player, you know, coaching, I did coaching a little bit. That's not my thing. Players that have played for the country, I will give an example with the Super Falcons, okay? Like Nkiru Okosame, Messi Akide, Florence Omagbemi, they all have their A licenses to coach here in this country. Why can't we get them back to coach the team? You will get, they had Florence Omagbemi, she went to one tournament, and that was it. They changed her, brought someone else. It's the same thing with the male coaches. There's no consistency, and there is no encouragement financially. They don't get paid. There's so much stories behind it. Do they get foreign coach and then pay them and not pay the local coaches? But if a player plays for your country, played as much as they did, may his soul rest in peace, Stephen Keshi, he had coached the national team. He became the national team coach. He quit at a certain time. They brought him back. Sunday Olise, a phenomenal Nigerian ex-player, he now coaches in Europe. He came, he had to leave. Why did they leave? We need to find out why are these coaches, our national players, ex-players that are coaches leaving the country. There's something wrong. Why would a white man or any foreign coach come to coach the country and they stay, and then our own player, they sacrifice. They went to coaching schools. They got all their certification and they can't stay. Why is that? Cisse is a good example from this Senegal. He did well. He took the team to the second round.
Nearly
to the second round. Yes. Pardon me. Yeah, nearly to the second round. He is a local coach. So we can do the same all over Africa.
Neil, let me come to you. Some people find it strange that there's all kinds of political shenanigans when it comes to football.
Yes.
Some say that government invests heavily in football. However, the returns are scant. What is the problem here?
I think, as I mentioned in the last to your last question, I think corruption is one part of it, number one. Yes, maybe if you look at the budget figures on paper, you will say that a lot of funds are being put into football. But do they actually go to one, develop players, especially from a young level? We need youth academies. Now, it's not that we don't know them. We have them. We need to just make sure they are working well, and there is no nepotism. But I'm saying there is seepage, there is drainage. There, some of the money that you see goes into the wrong hands in terms of corruption, so we need to fix that. The other thing that we need to fix, as my sister here has been saying, we need to be treating the coaches much better. And I think governments need to realize that football, soccer, is so important to the people. It is the people's game. You know, I mean, it is striking to me. You know, we are only, 4 days from last Sunday when France won. France is still in a partying mood. If you read the analysis, and France is a highly developed country. They used to be an empire, you know. They are on the Security Council in the UN. So among the most richest, well-developed countries, and even to them, they realize that football is so important. Mr. Macron has said that, you know, all over Europe, you've got nationalism, which I think is just the European name for tribalism, okay? And it is tearing Europe apart. You know, Mr. Macron's analysis is we need democratic heroes. Okay, he himself used to play soccer when he was little. He went to Moscow. The best picture from Moscow is him without his coat jumping up when France won, because he said, yes, we found our democratic heroes, because this will help France to heal the current issues of xenophobia, of nationalism. And I hope we get to talk about, you know, how many people of African descent they had on their team, and they don't treat Africans well. But yet, Africans help them win.
I'll come to you. You are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of our discussion in a moment, including our social media segment. So stay with us.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111 and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. It's time to bring in our social reporter, Heidi Adams Fitzpatrick. Heidi, what do you have for us today?
What I do have for you, Peter, so many comments, so little time. We've received excellent social media feedback this week. The 2018 FIFA World Cup is over, and like it or not, France is the new World Cup champion. The five African teams that participated in Russia, Nigeria, Egypt, Senegal, Morocco, and Tunisia all knocked out in the preliminary rounds of this highly competitive event. So this leads us to our question of the week, in which we asked, why did the African teams fall short in the 2018 World Cup? We're going to start here with our social media comment of the week from Facebook fan Ken Douglas Dykes from Uganda, who writes, Africa's football teams fell short because all their players went to France and won the World Cup. Let's go to another comment here from Facebook fan Frank Numamanya, who writes, I think football is poorly managed on the continent. There is inadequate preparation and poor resource allocation for the sports sector. As a result, players end up playing for European countries. And our last Facebook comment comes from Kashangeo Bailon from Uganda, who says Africa's teams failed in the World Cup due to corruption and nepotism. Some players are very rich. They bribe selection officials, and those officials select their own people, which are their relatives and friends. Hence, the quality of the teams, the players, are compromised. And so a reminder for you that we appreciate all of our audience feedback. If you are a new fan, do drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. You can also comment on our Facebook page. Just enter these keywords, Straight Talk Africa. And do be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com. You can also join our YouTube channel. Just sign up to VOA TV to Africa. And please follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. Straight Talk Africa also streams live every Wednesday on Facebook, or you can simply go to VOA Straight Talk Africa TV program page that is on our website. And to watch us live on your mobile device, download the VOA mobile app. Now let's take a look at what is ahead on next week's program. On the next Straight Talk Africa, host Shaka Sali broadcasts live from Zimbabwe as the Voice of America and the Zim Papers television network in Harare team up to present a presidential election debate. Zimbabweans are preparing to vote on July 30th in the first election since former President Robert Mugabe was removed from power last November. A presidential election debate on the next Straight Talk Africa.
And that's where we'll leave it for today's social media segment. Peter, you and the guests have a lot of social media comments to discuss, so I'm going to hand it back to you.
Thanks, Heidi. Today we are talking about the World Cup and the African diaspora. Our guests are Lami Ademu, a former Nigerian international and a member of the Super Falcons, the senior national women's team, to the 2000 Olympic soccer tournament in Sydney, Australia, and Ni Akwete, an African policy analyst and activist. Well, you heard the comments. Any feedback, Ni?
I think the one that jumped at me was the idea that, well, Africa didn't do well because all the best African players were playing for France.
But, this is the first time in 36 years that an African team failed to qualify to the knockout stage of the World Cup. Now, previously, they've qualified to the quarterfinals. The heartbreaking one, the latest one, was Ghana. Disqualification on being unable to qualify to the World Cup when Uruguay kicked them out.
Yes.
But why haven't all these African countries learned from past experiences to enable them move forward? Let me come to you. Before I come to you, Neil.
I will say the unwillingness to do so. We have so much bureaucracy, so much red tape with African football. And a lack of planning, I think people will go back. World Cup just ended. We have 4 more years to practice, to start planning for the next 4 years. And we'll just relax and pick the next competition coming along. Drop everything else. Once that competition is finished, that one is dropped, you pick the next one. We need a broader plan for all levels of football in the African continent. We need to have a strong academies. That's where you feed into all the teams. You start with your U11, U7, U11, however you're going to start it. We start planning upwards. America, a couple of years back, there's nothing like soccer. But now that is one of the major sports. I turn my TV to catch a man. The stadiums are packed. In Nigeria, people only watch English Premier League on TV. They don't go to their local stadiums to watch games anymore because there's no interest. There's nothing new, nothing enticing to tell people to come. And that's where players are groomed. That's where you get players to the national team. So we need to plan, to have a broader plan for all age groups, not just competition. We do stuff, we train from competition to competition to competition. Germany get knocked out first round. I'm sure they've started planning for the next 4 years.
Ni?
Yes.
Do we have any excuse?
Not quite. The reason I wouldn't say, I wouldn't be 100% hard on us, and thus far, I've been saying we've made mistakes. We need to look at them. There's corruption and all that. But let me also throw in this where I will make an excuse, a little excuse for our countries. Soccer is a heartbreaker, okay? Mm-hmm. As my sister just mentioned, Germany, the defending champions, got knocked out. Argentina got knocked out. After the first 2 games, I thought Spain would go far because they played great. They got knocked out. Egypt got knocked out. Mighty Brazil got knocked out. And so soccer, what it does is, it's 80% merit. How good you are, but 20% of it we haven't figured out, okay? So sometimes, in fact, a good team will still lose. And one last point, Peter, the finals, if you ask me, Croatia outplayed France, okay? They played a beautiful game. And by the way, they are only 4.5 million people, but they have a great system for developing the people. They played a great game, but the French were ruthless. Didier Deschamps said he told his players, you have to remain calm and you have to be ruthless. You don't have to be beautiful, just put the ball in the net. So I think the aspect that soccer can break your heart, and so we should understand that, we've done well by going out of the knockout stage until now. This time we didn't, which is a wake-up call. We need to do our homework because even though I say it's luck, some people think luck is the reward that heaven gives you if you work hard. So we need to work hard.
Well, tactically, you could see that our players at the World Cup knew what they were doing.
However, they did not play as a team. Some people said that each one wanted to show that I'm the best in my country so they could get big contracts and all that. But my concern is that, don't you think we should have some progress over the years? The World Cup has been going on for so long.
Yes.
We should know how to plan. We should have CEOs, or the FAs are supposed to be independent by FIFA rules. Are they not capable of planning 5-10 years ahead, that this is what we're going to do, this is how we're going to play, we're going to stick to what we know or how we play best to our strengths in order to be able to challenge these other countries from other parts of the world, because we play with them on the international stage. EPL, La Liga, Serie A, even the Russian League, you have all kinds of African players there. What is wrong?
Well, I said earlier, lack of planning. It's not just with the men. Look at the Nigerian women's team or the African women's team in general. We don't go past the first round. It's lack of planning. They even put more attention to the men's team than the women's team. We only go out there when there's tournament. That's it. You play that tournament and that's it. So they need to develop the sports, both men and women. The Women's World Cup is coming up next year in France. We had a friendly match against France a couple of months back. How many did France trash us? 7-1. Nigeria, the giant of Africa. I mean, we're not making progress. We're not making progress. I think we can do a lot better. Female league in Nigeria is pathetic. Straight up pathetic. They can get sponsors just like they do with the men. Develop the league. That's where we get our players. It's just of recent years that the players started going to Europe to pursue professional careers. But primarily, Nigerian Super Falcons are all players from the home league, but there's nothing there. We need to plan. We need to have infrastructure. We need to have a good league. We need to have equipment that will train these players, both men and women. But we don't do that. We will build facilities. We will abandon it. Example is the National Stadium in Abuja. A massive, incredible facility. I don't think it's up to 40% usage. Oh, I'm giving it a big number. It's not being used. It's not being utilized. We can build facilities, buy equipment, and train children. As my brother here said, it can break our heart. It can bring us back together. When this World Cup was, for the past month, we enjoyed the World Cup. I don't care if you're from the moon, the star, the sea, the ocean. Everybody sat down. Everybody enjoyed. Nobody was talking about their issues. Oh, you are green, you are purple. Everybody was a soccer fan. And it brought joy to everybody. I think based on that, if everybody is happy because of soccer, why not invest in it and make everybody happy?
Peter, may I jump on that?
Sure, sure. Before we go, yeah.
Yes, I agree totally. And in my day job, I'm an activist. I'm looking at policy, and my number one issue is democracy, democracy, democracy. Mm-hmm. Democracy is what the people want. And I can bet you every African country, Nigeria, Ghana, Liberia, has a former soccer player as president. Mm-hmm. So my point is, African governments need to understand that soccer is important. They should invest in it. And because the people are so passionate, we need to find a way. You are right that the FAs are supposed to be shielded from political interference. But there is a way of making soccer and sports development a national priority and put the money into it. The planning that she's talking about and the systematic planning, not waiting until one tournament, I agree with that totally. And I'm saying it should be made a political issue. If I'm running for president, I'm going to say, here, part of my campaign is, here's what I'm going to do with soccer. And you wait and see, and other sports. And therefore, I'll say, wait and see how many votes, how many people will look at me my platform if I say soccer is a priority and sports is a priority.
You know, in Malawi, sometimes you can't get people for political events. You have to organize soccer events in order
Precisely.
To draw people.
Precisely.
You are tuned into Straight Talk Africa to participate in our conversation. Please call us at 202-619-3111. And the U.S. country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in a moment, so don't go away.
The lyrics could be French,
English,
Portuguese,
Bantu,
Arabic.
It is the beat,
the African beat that counts.
The beat does all the translations.
It cuts across all languages and gives us the understanding that this is the African beat.
It is so distinct
and adhesive.
It binds us together.
African beat on the Voice of America. For more information, visit our website at www.voanews.com/African Beat.
If you liked today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook, keywords Straight Talk Africa.
Welcome back. Before the break, we were talking about how in some countries you need to organize soccer tournaments in order for people to show up. But let me ask you, Lami, do players think about the fact that these FAs or the governments do not take care of them when they come for national duties? They come and play. They come down from their, foreign teams, come to play. They get injured. They are never taken care of. So there is lack of commitment of them to play for the national team because that is not where their bread is buttered. A lot of examples have been given over the years where people come down to play, they get injured, they are neglected, and they can't go back to fit into their teams. They are relegated. They don't have any more money. They are broke. The government doesn't take care of them. Do players think about things like that?
It's a two-pronged answer to that question. You know, there's a concern if you play in a European league, you know, that's your bread and butter. If you play in the local league, you're looking for an opportunity to go overseas. And one of the opportunities to go overseas is try to get into your national team. Even if you play in any European or outside league, outside the country, the way to get noticed also is through your national team. Mm-hmm. If you get an opportunity to play with your national team, I don't see any soccer player that will say no. However, it all goes back to planning. You know, not only this aspect of it should not only be left to the football association. They can play a role in that. But the players have to have a players association that will take care of their welfare benefits after soccer, which they have to invest financially in it. When I get injured, I can't go back to play. Can we get some company that will buy us insurance through the FAs where we can come back and get taken care of? All those leagues in Europe, elsewhere, they have insurance for their players. The FA can do that. But the players, this should be the responsibility of their players. Nobody can take care of yourself more than you. You have to take care of your body. Bring out the initiative. Do the paperwork and find, do plan on it, how you're going to get covered when you are injured.
Neil, let me come to you. You were a soccer player yourself when you were at the university. I mean, do players think about some of these issues? Because that is your bread and butter. If you get injured and you're unable to play, your money will be cut out.
That is absolutely true that they face this dilemma. I say it's a dilemma because I think they love the game and they love their people. They love their countries, okay? They play overseas. They get hard currency and all that, but they are treated badly. You know, some of them even get bananas thrown at them in sports stadiums. There's nothing like coming home to play and you feel the love. At the same time, you are jeopardizing your income. And so I think the magic word, as Lamine was speaking, I was thinking the magic word is insurance, okay? In today's world, you can insure anything. I know of boxers whose hands get insured because that's their tool for earning their living. So all we have to do, the local FAs and the governments, have to find a way to insure these people, because I do think that the players love to come. I believe they love to come and play. I hadn't even thought of the angle that Lamine brought out, that one way of advertising your wares, your skills, your God-given gifts is to play for the national team. You know, there are, I mean, Mbappe is a great player, but playing at the World Cup got him an audience. People who never heard of him before heard of him. So playing for your national team brings you a great stage, and they want to do it, and I'm saying they also do it out of love, and the way, therefore, it should be done is, in addition to players' associations, the government should look at it and the association should look at it, because all these rich teams in Europe, they go to the ghettos of Africa looking for young players. And usually the contracts they give them are not very good. I think it is a government responsibility to make sure that such contracts include not just insurance in Europe, but that we get the right for them to return home and play with insurance, so that they don't take on that whole risk of getting injured by themselves.
All right, let's quickly go to the phone lines, and then we'll come back to you.
Okay.
Gerard from Uganda, how are you? Hello, Gerald, can you hear me? Hello, Gerald? Okay, Ifa from Ghana. Ifa, how are you?
Hello, good evening.
Good evening, how are you, Ifa?
I'm good, my name is Safa.
Okay, Safa, go ahead. Tell us what you think.
What I think is that what is killing African football is corruption, mismanagement, and nepotism. That is what killing African football. When you look at the way national teams being organized, I can talk about my country, Ghana, here. We have very good players. But before they can get to the national level, they will need somebody within the FA to lobby for them. Or their family, sometimes their family has to pay a money to the official before they can be recommended to the coach. So all the coaches that we've been putting in Africa here, they don't have any free hand to operate. The official that will go and brought them from the Europe or whatever, come and coach our players, are the same official who will determine who be selected, play for the nation. If you come to our various communities, you see a very, very good players who have never made it even to the local league level because their families are poor.
All right. Thank you, Safa. Your point is well made. We'll now head to Patrick from Nigeria. Hello, Patrick.
Yeah, good evening, sir. That's Patrick Okorafor in Nigeria.
How are you, Patrick?
Honestly speaking, Africans were not prepared for the World Cup because of the players were playing one-man show, coupled with Africans' lack of incentives to players. Sustain any injury, you will die alone. Nobody will assist you. Look at our late Ekini of Nigeria. What is how he suffered. For Africans to still come 4 years' time, they should start preparing now. Plan ahead. That is even like what our guest was just saying, that the players are not insured in Africa. That is why you see when they come, they just play the next game. Because if you sustain any party, nobody will take care of you. Thank you very much. Patrick Okafor is my name.
Thank you.
Plan ahead. And good marketers, we need them now. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Patrick. Lamine, you were about to say something before.
Yeah,
the came.
I just wanted to touch on the players playing for the national team without insurance. Every athlete, the pinnacle of their at every sport, what they achieve to do is to play for their national teams. Every athlete in the whole world, you box, you play soccer, that's the highest for them. So it doesn't, they can come and get injured, but they still want to take that opportunity. That's what I wanted to add.
Okay, Nii, yeah. What are the steps forward in order to achieve the ultimate target? Because there were predictions that in the 2000s, Africa should be able to reach the finals and possibly win it. Do you see that happening in our lifetime?
I would like to think so, yes. Now, that prediction, of course, got a lot of attention in Africa, in the whole diaspora, really, because it came from the best possible source, Pelé himself, you know. So Africa has the talent. What do we need to do? I think, as my sister said, we need to plan. My way of putting it is it has to be a national priority. Governments have to say it is a national priority. But I stress, as you have mentioned, they are not supposed to interfere with the FAs. But there is a role for government to make it an issue. I would also appeal to ordinary Africans, ordinary Nigerians, ordinary Ghanaians, ordinary Egyptians. The whole idea of democracy is the country belongs to you. The leaders have power only because you gave it to them by voting. So anything that you think is important, you push them to do it. And if they are not doing it, you throw them out. So it has to be the people's priority. It has to be government priority. And it has to be a priority for the FAs. And then the details are having a good plan, developing players, developing how you train good coaches. And if I might add one thing, you know, all Africa has so much talent. I was shocked when Ghana didn't make it. I was shocked that Cote d'Ivoire didn't make it. I was shocked that Cameroon didn't make it. And, you know, Mali, Burkina, all these countries have been playing well. Hopefully, you know, soon there will be 9 teams from Africa. But we need to start planning to make sure that we send the very best teams. We need to make it a national priority. And so, because when we don't do well, then, you know, our good players choose to play for some of the European teams.
Understood. Before we go briefly, you have the last word, Lamine.
Okay, planning, we talked about the coaches, we talked about the players, if they're prepared. A team consists of a whole slew of professionals. It's not just the coaches. We have the players, we have the psychologists, we have the physical trainers, we have the doctors, we have the physiotherapists, we have the dietitian. If we can get people, you know, you find out from the 5 African countries, did they have all that? Did Nigeria have a dietitian? Did they have a psychologist? You know, a dietitian prepare their meal that they eat during the tournament. Did they have that? They can add Saharan Kilishi in their next tournament.
we'll have to continue another time. On that note, thanks to our guests, Lami Ademu and Nii Akwete, and my VOA colleague, Mohamed El Shenawy, who was in Russia at the 2018 World Cup. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Batty. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for watching and listening to Straight Talk Africa. Have a great evening.